Would you look in your Bibles with me, please, to 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. 2 Chronicles. Now, that's in the Old Testament. I didn't say Corinthians. It's 2 Chronicles. You know, the Old Testament historical books, sometimes we overlook them, but understanding they're simply telling the stories of real live people. The stories are recorded by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, so we know we have accurate records and right applications and understanding. But we're just talking about people. In this case, a king. But I think there's a concept that we can see as we study the life of Uzziah that will help each of us to understand this concept, what I'm going to call the curse of prosperity. Now, many people, probably almost everyone, hopes for some kind of prosperity. And by the way, there is a legitimate kind of prosperity. There's a soul prosperity, that's S-O-U-L. There's a spiritual prosperity that God gives that we all ought to seek after. And yet, every one of us could obtain that. But there's a different kind of prosperity most people seek for. Money, easy life, comfort, fame, you know, the good health, all the nice things. And most people think, that's what I want. But you know, as I study the scripture, I find people who attain those things, most of them had a very difficult time staying right with God after they experienced prosperity. Now, in this story, 2 Chronicles 26, is the story of Uzziah. He's also elsewhere called Azariah. And he is mentioned several times in the scripture in detail here, but he's also was a contemporary with some of the prophets that we know, like Isaiah. Remember Isaiah chapter 6. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Isaiah was alive in the same time that Uzziah was. Also, Hosea prophesied in his day. Amos, these prophets mentioned him. And so there were some pretty good guys on the scene as far as spiritual men, godly leadership. And Uzziah himself was a godly man. I want to read really the first five verses and then actually use the whole chapter as a greater text. But notice the first five verses. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king. Now that's kind of scary. We look around some of our teenagers and say, okay, we're going to make you king. I would be nervous, okay? But you understand that the kings inherited the job. But here was one who was an exceptionally godly young man. 16 years old when he became king. And they made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. His father was not a godly man. You read of Amaziah, he was a wicked man who fostered idolatry, even closed the doors of the temple and allowed the temple of God to fall into ruin because he was an idolater. Now, here's his 16-year-old son becoming king. Verse 2, he built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. That means died. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. So he was 68 when he died. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I gave you one false statement, which I was planning to reserve for the service tonight because I'm going to deal with a different king who had a wicked father, and I apologize for that. But nevertheless, notice, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. The challenge of this scripture, I think, is this. You must learn to live for God when things go well. We're going to look at King Uzziah, this 52 years of his life. He had a great start in godliness, sought the Lord, he did much for God, but it didn't turn out well. As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered, but he didn't always seek the Lord. And after that prosperity came, he turned away from being the godly man that he was as a teenager. By the way, I'm thankful for godly teenagers. You know, a lot of people are down on teenagers. They think because, you know, they think teenager is a disease of some kind, you know. That hopefully they'll grow out of and become people afterwards, you know. But I'm thankful for godly teenagers. And we have some in this local church who are serving God now. And they're a challenge to me spiritually. And I thank God for that. You see, you don't have to be a certain age in order to live for the Lord and be effective. You can, at any point, if you know Christ as your Savior, you can be a godly influence upon others. And I'm thankful for young people who will accept this challenge. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. This was the kind of man Uzziah was as a teenager. Four things I want to see about him. First of all, his secret, then his success, but then his sinfulness, and finally, his suffering. Let's pray. Help us, Lord, to understand your word. And I pray that you guide our thoughts. Help us to rightly divide and then personally apply your word of truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The secret that Uzziah had was demonstrated for us here in verses 1 through 4. And it's a couple things. He did right when he was young. You know, some people have the idea, well, you know, the young, they sow their wild oats. And after that, then they're okay. Which simply means, you know, when you sow something, you're going to reap something. There is a law in the Bible of sowing and reaping. If you sow your wild oats, quote unquote, you're going to reap corruption. That's what God promised in the book of Galatians. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow your wild oats, that means you're going to reap a wild harvest. You don't have to sow your wild oats. You don't have to make your own mistakes to learn. You can be wise enough to learn from the mistakes of others. Clearly recorded in the scripture. You don't have to be one who will stand up as a testimony and say to young people, don't do as I do. It's amazing to me that how many famous people, like professional athletes who become drug addicts and get in trouble with the law, then they suddenly become counselors of young people. And every one of them say the same thing. Don't do what I did. And it rings just as phony to the young people as it does to everybody else. Okay, I'll tell you what's a more effective testimony. Don't do what I didn't do. That's a pretty good testimony. Yeah. And young people, I would challenge you. Don't just go out there and say, I've got to make my own mistakes to learn. No, you don't. Be wise enough to learn from those who've gone before you and fought those battles and faced those enemies and sometimes failed, but some have been victorious. But listen to God. You don't have to to fail as a young person spiritually. It really is a heartbreaking thing to see young people ruining the blessing of marriage before they ever know what it's all about. They give away their purity before they understand what a precious thing it is. How tragic that is. God has something much better for you. And Uzziah. I get these two men confused because I'm preaching on the other one tonight. Here's a young man, 16 years of age, who did right when he was young. That's the secret to prosperity. If you want the blessing of God, if you want good things to happen in your life, do right when you're young. And we also see in verse 5 that he sought God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean money. It means he had a happy and blessed life. Oh, yes, he had money. He was king, but he had that before. Okay. He grew up the son of a king. The prosperity that came to him was not a financial prosperity, it was a spiritual prosperity. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That is the secret to real prosperity. Walk with God. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. If you want good things to happen in your life, seek the Lord. And that's He is the one who gives the good things. Now the devil will tell you he's got something good to offer. A preacher one time entitled a sermon, "All the Devil's Apples Have Worms." And I think that title pretty much says it all. All the devil's apples have worms. They may look good, they may be attractive, they may be exciting, they may taste good at first. Can you imagine taking a big bite out of a worm? I can't imagine that. I wouldn't want to imagine that either. But can you imagine taking a big bite out of an apple and then you see a worm start to crawl out of it? Somebody said the only thing worse than that is to see half a worm. And you ate the other half, okay? But it looks good. It's attractive. It seems exciting and adventuresome and all those things. But if you want something good, you've got to get it from God. And here Uzziah, his secret was, he did right when he was young. He sought God. He walked with God. He knew as a teenage young man, he had enormous responsibility as the king. And he was to lead these people in spiritual matters, in civil matters, in political decisions, in battle. And he acknowledged he needed God. That is the secret to real prosperity. And so things were going very well for him. Notice his success in verses 6 and 7. He went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gibeah and the Mehunims. He was victorious. In this time of prosperity, as a result of having sought the Lord, God stepped in and made him victorious. You know, we often talk about the victorious Christian life, and some people think it's a pipe dream, that it's just some vision that somebody has that few people ever experience. No, it's a real experience that God intended for every Christian. It's really the normal Christian life is to be a life of victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, but we're more than that. Okay, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God does not want us to live in defeat. He did not design the Christian life that way. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God wants Christians to be victorious. And the normal Christian life, I didn't say the average Christian life, I said the normal Christian life is a life of victory. Sadly, the average Christian life is way below normal. But God wants us to be victorious. And as we seek the Lord and determine to do right, God will give us victory. So in his success, he was victorious. Also in his success, he increased in fame and strength. Look at verse 8. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. In other words, they paid tribute to him or taxes. And his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. Verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines. Now, these were not internal combustion engines, but machines. Invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. When he was in that process of life, when he trusted God and looked to God for help, acknowledged how much he needed the Lord, God helped him marvelously. But there came a point, apparently, when he stopped trusting God. He had success as long as he sought the Lord. He achieved much. Look at verses 9 and 10. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And also he built towers in the desert and digged many wells. For he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen, that's farmers also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. For he loved farming, husbandry. Verses 14 and 15. Well, I've read verse 15, but notice verse 14. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. They built all this war machinery and equipment. He achieved much. He was a builder. He was a farmer. He was a military man. You pick an area of leadership in which Uzziah had responsibility. He accepted that responsibility and God gave him success and his fame spread throughout the land. He achieved much. Not only that, but his success tells us that he had many loyal followers. Verse 11 down through 13. Moreover, just you keep seeing that word, moreover, moreover, moreover. Just on top of this, you know, another great thing. Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jael the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Now, those are the leaders. That's not the army. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. 307,500 soldiers led by 2,600 officers. And they were a mighty army. As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. He was mightily helped till he was strong. Here's a young man trusting God, looking to the Lord, acknowledging God as the ruler of his life. He was king, but he had God for his own king. And he recognized that. But something happened to him spiritually once he was prosperous. He was mightily helped until he was strong. He sought the Lord and God made him to prosper, but when he prospered, he couldn't handle the prosperity. That which was such a blessing, he turned into a curse spiritually. Notice his sinfulness. In verse 16, but when he was strong, he had it made. He was on top of the world. Everything was going great. He had the armies. He had the possessions. He had the farmland producing. He had the fame. The enemies were paying him tribute. When he was strong, here comes the sad part, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed, that is, he sinned against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, what was so bad about that? Burning incense on the altar of incense was a job of the priest. It was not the job of the king. See, he did not handle prosperity because it turned to pride. He began to look at perhaps all the accomplishments and suddenly figured he was the one who did it all. Isn't it amazing how in our weakness we acknowledge we have no strength and we ask God to help us, and then when he helps us, we boast of what we've accomplished? That doesn't make sense. But we do that far too often. Here's Solomon. When he became king, he acknowledged that he was a young man and he had great responsibility, and he wasn't wise enough for the job. And so he asked God to give him wisdom. God gave him wisdom. And what a wonderful beginning Solomon had. But boy, when he was on top, spiritually he went to the bottom. I think we can look at history and see both Bible history and our own experiences. We can see that prosperity is one of the most difficult experiences for us to handle spiritually and stay right with God. For it's so easy to say, look what I've done. Look how smart I am. Look how much money I have made. Look what I have accomplished. Look at me. Not realizing there's not a penny we have but what God provided it. We'd have no intelligence at all if God had not made us that way. We could not accomplish a thing if God had not given us the strength. Remember we talked about Samson last week? When he had finally revealed the secret of his strength and his hair was cut and he was shaven, he said, I'll go out just as before. But it didn't happen just like before. Samson had come to the point where he thought he was self-sufficient. So did Solomon. So did Uzziah. And that prosperity, which was such a blessing from God, he turned into a curse spiritually. Because he couldn't handle, or I shouldn't say couldn't, he didn't handle prosperity. He allowed it to turn to his pride. You know, the very thing we crave can become the means of our destruction. How many people think, oh, if I just had more money, my life would be happy? We're not going to vote on that today, but it'd be pretty close to unanimous, I expect, if we did vote on it. If that was your opinion. If you had more money, would you be happy? Most people think so. Or if you had more friends, you're more famous, you're more popular, you'd be happy. Well, Uzziah had that, and his heart was lifted up with pride. He had his health. Some people think, if I just was healthy, I'd be happy. Uzziah had his health at this point. God was later going to show him that God was the source of his health, that Uzziah didn't make himself healthy. But you see, when he was on top of the world, when he had it made, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. The curse of prosperity. You know, in prosperity, we tend to lose a lot of things. We tend to lose fervency in prayer. You know, when you're hungry, you can pray pretty fervently, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." But when your cupboards are stocked and your freezers are full, you don't get so fervent in your prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Sometimes in prosperity, we lose our sense of fervency in prayer. And connected with that, we lose our sense of dependence upon God. We forget how totally dependent we are upon Him. When we're small, when we're poor, when we're sick, when we're weak, we know we need God. But when He blesses us and provides us those things we desire, sometimes we forget how much we still desperately need Him. And often in prosperity, we lose a sense of our dependence upon God. Sometimes in prosperity, we lose spiritual vigilance. We tend to think things are going well and they'll always go well. And so if I skip my devotions every now and then, it's not going to hurt anything. I'm healthy. I've got enough money to get by. Everything's going fine. And we tend to lose a spiritual vigilance and a watchfulness concerning the wiles of the devil. We tend to lose that in times of prosperity. We tend to lose a concern for others in our prosperity. Everybody is likely to be concerned about other hungry people. But a person who's not hungry may not be so focused on the fact that there are hungry people out there. Remember the story of Marie Antoinette, the Queen of France, in the days of the French Revolution. They came to her and said to the Queen, "The people have no bread." And she said, "Let them eat cake." Which means she had zero concern for those people. Obviously, if they didn't have bread, they didn't have cake either. But you know, the people didn't like Marie Antoinette's statement about them. They didn't like the arrogance that that statement represented. They wound up cutting off her head. Okay? So she wouldn't make statements like that again. But see, she had plenty of food. She didn't care about the people. She was prosperous. Who cares if people are starving out there? But you know, in prosperity, we sometimes lose our concern for others. A fellow in the church, the first church I pastored, in Holland, Michigan. Almost everybody there was Dutch except myself, a Gentile. And one of the men said to me one day, he said, "You know, most of the Dutch people in this town have some money, and they didn't get it by giving it away." Which is a message to me, the preacher. But anyway, I think it had reference to the offerings. But sometimes it reflects when you prosper, sometimes you lose your concern for other people. If you've been healthy all your life, it's pretty hard to identify with people who are sick. When you aren't experiencing pain, it's kind of hard to understand why other people have a hard time dealing with their pain if you haven't experienced it. Sometimes in prosperity, we tend to lose a craving for God's Word. We'll not take the time to turn there, but there's a statement in the Psalms to that very effect, or the opposite, that in times of affliction, the psalmist desired God's Word. Well, I think the flip side of that's also true. Often in times of prosperity, we tend to lose a craving for God's Word. I think in times of prosperity, we tend to lose true character. We tend to become self-indulgent, live lives of ease and luxury, decide the world revolves around us, and as long as we have what keeps us going, that's all that matters. We become the center of our own universe. Self-indulgent. Here's a man, a king, Uzziah, who accomplished much for God, had a great following. God used him and God blessed him and things were going great. But he didn't handle it spiritually. In verses 16 to 20, we read verse 16, he went to the temple to burn incense. God had forbidden that. That was the priest's responsibility. Verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests, 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. So here he is rebuked strongly by these men of God. Look how he responds, verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth or angry with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, he himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. Regarding his sinfulness, notice his attitude. He disregarded God's word. It was God who had said in the Pentateuch, the priests, the sons of Aaron, the descendants of Aaron, are to offer the incense on the altar. He disregarded God's word. Then he disregarded God's men. 81 of them. 81 of them said to him, you're wrong. You shouldn't have done that. You need to get out of this place. Be where God has put you. Don't usurp a position God has not given to you. He disregarded God's men. He got angry at the preachers, if you will. You know, that's the way some people deal with conviction. Just get mad at the preacher, then you won't feel so bad about your sin. It never works. But that's what Uzziah tried. He disregarded God's word. He disregarded God's men. He disregarded God's method. The whole system of the temple worship was established by God. These priests hadn't made up the rules. It was God who'd established, instituted this kind of practice. And even when he was corrected by the priests, he just got angry at them and had the censer in his hand, was going to go ahead and do it. Here's the man, as a 16-year-old young man, recognizing his responsibility before God and to help the people who sought the Lord, did right while he was young. God blessed him and prospered him, but he could not handle the prosperity spiritually, or did not handle it, I say. Lifted up in pride, he now is not listening to God. He's not listening to the people of God. He's not listening to the methods that God established. He is going to do his thing, his way. And that brings us finally to his suffering. Leprosy is a horrible disease. He was instantly stricken by God with leprosy. Leprosy was an incurable disease apart from miraculous intervention of God. Miraculous. Unless God stepped in, leprosy was a one-way street to the grave. It was a disease that eats away the flesh. Usually starts in the appendages, the fingers, the ears, the nose, and those parts of the body just gradually rot and fall off, the toes. In this case, it started in his forehead. So that here is an obvious to everyone. You know, if it's in your toes, you can cover up your toes somehow. But if it's in your forehead, it was an obvious statement to everyone. This king, who was so blessed of God, who was so prosperous, who was so much on top of everything, who was so famous, God has smitten him. because of his sin. And he suffered. The leprosy came. It never went away. Sometimes they have the idea, well, I'll sin until God chastens me, then I'll confess it, get it right, and everything will be fine after that. But Uzziah missed his chance. I believe he repented here, though we don't have a great record of that. But whether he did or did not, the leprosy never went away. It gradually got worse and worse and worse until he died. And he was placed in a several house, it says here in the text, meaning he was isolated, quarantined, where he could only be around lepers, other people who had the same leprosy, the same sickness. Verse 21, and Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. He didn't have a second chance to regain the prosperity that he forfeited because of his pride. He did not continue to function as king. He was the king in name, but unable to function in the matters of governing. His son had to step in and fulfill his responsibilities. He was segregated. He was isolated. He was quarantined in a house for people with the same disease, until it gradually ate up his body and he died. There's a story with such a wonderful beginning in the first five verses and such a tragic conclusion in verse 21. The whole problem was he didn't handle prosperity. The thing that we crave became a curse to him. I would venture to guess there's no one in here that wouldn't want to have more money, better health, be more popular, have more things, be more successful, and achieve more. I'm sure that probably everybody here would like it to be that way. But if it happened to us, would we forget who brought all those blessings? Uzziah did. Solomon did. David did. It was in a time of ease that David got involved with Bathsheba. He should have been out on the battlefield, but he stayed home, took it easy. Had an illegitimate relationship with another man's wife. Committed murder to try to cover it up. Lived in hypocrisy until finally the prophet of God pointed his finger at him and said, "You're the man that has offended God so terribly." Israel, in their history, had difficulty handling prosperity. When they were small in their own eyes, they were in Egypt. In Egypt, they cried out to God by reason of their bondage. In Canaan, they began to enjoy the land that flowed with milk and honey, and they went away from worshiping Jehovah, got involved in idolatry. They couldn't or didn't handle prosperity. The very thing we crave so much can be the means of our destruction if we forget. God said to the Israelites, he warned them about this on the Exodus journey. While they were still going through the hardship of the Exodus, he said to them, "I'm going to put you in Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey, but I don't want you to think that by your hand or by your might, you've gotten this wealth. I want you to know it'll come from me." He told them that ahead of time. And yet, when they got in the promised land and God blessed them, they no longer are praying fervently for deliverance. They no longer are depending so heavily upon Jehovah. After all, their cupboards are full. Things are going well. They've got the land. They're not slaves. They have their freedom. And they forgot the God who made it all possible. You know, I think there's a lesson that we all ought to learn. And that's this. We ought to seek God while we're young and then keep on seeking God for all of our lives. We need to learn to live for God when things go well. And I believe that's one of the hardest lessons for God's people to learn. To live for God when things go well. I dare say if you had a loved one who is suddenly stricken with some life-threatening physical situation, I dare say you would get fervent in your prayer life. But where's the fervency when we don't have those kind of things to deal with? When you have bills coming, you have no way to know how to pay them, that's the time we tend to say, Lord, I need your help. But when the paycheck increases and God's help becomes evident, and you have a little money left over after all the bills are paid, then it sometimes have a tendency to not realize how desperately we still need God. You must learn to live for God when things go well. Let's pray.